shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you again for your word. We pray that you would give us understanding. We pray that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, and the will to be doers of your word. I pray that the things that I say this morning will honor and glorify you and edify the body of Christ, for we pray in his name. Amen. This was another one of those sermons that I was asking myself, why did I pick this epistle? I have to preach a sermon to elders when you're a Christian. And yet, as I thought about this, this is a sermon, yes, directed to elders, but it's directed to all of us. Scripture instructs us that to desire to be an elder is a good thing. So, this isn't just for those that are elders. It's not even just for those that desire to be elders. I believe it is for all God's people because this affects all God's people. And we've learned a number of things as we've gone through 1 Peter. Peter has referred to believers in a number of ways. He has told us that we are pilgrims on a journey. He's reminded us that we are God's people, that we are God's nation, that we are living stones, because Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's told us that Jesus has ordained us to be God's priests. That's all of us. And that he is building us into God's temple. And here, in 1 Peter 5, Peter is telling us something else that we are. Peter calls us God's flock. We are God's sheep. The sheep need a shepherd. We need someone to provide us with food and water. We are living in the midst of unbelievers, and at times, we are under attack. And we need a shepherd to keep us safe, to shelter us, to feed us. We need someone to lead us into the green pastures of God's Word. We need to know that our shepherd is near when we are in the valley of the shadow of death. But God has given us a shepherd that we need. Most, if not all of us, are very familiar with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, here's something else that Peter told us in chapter 2. He wrote that Jesus Christ is the shepherd and overseer of our souls. But how does Christ shepherd us? How does Jesus tend us and care for us and guide us and protect us? He does it, Peter says, through elders. Jesus uses elders to serve for our survival as God's flock. He uses elders to guide us to glory. So as we come to the beginning of 1 Peter 5, I want to do so with this theme in mind. Peter tells us that Christ commissions elders to shepherd his flock. Christ commissions elders to shepherd his flock. And we'll see that Peter shows us the motive for the elders' work in verse 1. The character of the elders' work in verses 2 to 4. And the response to the elders' work in the first part of verse 5. So Christ commissions elders to shepherd his flock, and the first thing that Peter shows us is the motive for the elders' work. If you want to recall, for those that were here for the last sermon, and for those that weren't, you can delve back into chapter 4 to see what I'm referring to. Remember, Peter has just been saying that God's judgment has started with God's house. And last time I referred back to Ezekiel 9 that says that judgment starts with the elders in God's house. And now Peter turns to the elders and he appeals to them personally. So in verse 1, Peter writes, "The elders among you I exhort." Or another way of saying it is, I appeal to the elders that are among you. And then Peter does what we may think is an odd thing as we look at it and contemplate it. He starts to list his own qualifications. He's appealing to the elders, but he looks at his own qualifications. Why? Because those qualifications are the incentive, if you will, the encouragement, the motive for the work of the elders. First Peter calls himself a fellow elder. And that may sound strange if you think about who Peter is. After all, Peter was an apostle, appointed as the head guy by Jesus himself. But Peter doesn't pull rank here. He doesn't exalt himself over the other elders in Christ's churches. He speaks as a fellow elder, as a man who has been called to the very same task that all elders have been called to. And that is the work of caring for God's flock. When Jesus rose from the dead, remember he met the disciples as they were trying to fish again. And after he called them in, he took Peter aside. You remember what Jesus said as they walked on the shore by the Sea of Tiberias? 3 times Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And 3 times Peter said, "Yes." And every time Peter said yes, Jesus called him to a task. "Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." That's what all elders are called to do. So Peter appeals as one elder to another to love the sheep, to tend the sheep, to feed the sheep. Peter knew how hard the work was, and is, because he was involved in shepherding himself. But Peter was more than just an elder. He had the same task, yes, but he had a clearer view, I believe, of the importance and the urgency and the foundation of that work. Because Peter was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Now, you'll recall that Peter has written much about the need for us to suffer for Christ's sake as he was writing. Peter was there when Jesus was arrested. He added to Jesus' suffering himself when he denied that he even knew Jesus 3 times. And it is most likely that Peter was there when Jesus was crucified, watching from somewhere. Peter was an eyewitness. He saw how Jesus suffered. He knew why Jesus died, the righteous for the unrighteous. He knew that personally. He knew the importance of that in people's lives. And in his role as an elder, he was passing on what he heard and saw and knew. It was Peter's knowledge of Jesus' suffering that molded his heart into the heart of a shepherd, because he understood what it took. We celebrate the Lord's Supper weekly. And the Lord's Supper has everything to do with the work of elders. because Jesus' suffering has everything to do with the work of elders. And that's part of what we celebrate. Jesus' love drove him to the cross to die for our sins, to die for the sins of his church. That same love ought to drive elders. It ought to move elders to care for the sheep, to proclaim the gospel to them again and again, to be patient with them and to love them because they are the sheep for whom Christ died. And Peter reaches back to Jesus' suffering and then he points forward to glory. He calls himself a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. And I believe that these words also indicate to us that Peter was sharing in that glory already when he was writing. Peter was there on Pentecost when the Spirit of glory came to rest on him and on the church. And he saw Jesus ascend and he knew that Jesus would return again in glory. And Peter's desire was, and is, that all God's sheep enter into that glory with Christ. And that's to be the goal of all elders, alongside Peter, their fellow elder. But that goal should also be the goal of all of us as the flock of God. We are to deny ourselves. We are to strain forward. We are to endure persecution as Peter has been teaching us because our hearts are fixed on that glory that Christ promises. And we are to encourage one another and build each other up and strengthen each other so that not one sheep is missing when Christ returns. Christ commissions elders to shepherd his flock. Peter indicates the motive, and then he describes the character of the elders' work. Peter calls elders to be shepherds of God's flock. Now, many churches tend to use the word pastor only for the guy who is set aside to make a living by preaching God's word among other duties assigned. He's the pastor. The other guys are the elders in the church leadership. But that's not what we learn in Scripture. That's not what Peter is saying here. That word pastor plainly means shepherd. And Peter calls all elders to be shepherds. So a little logic. If a man is an elder, then he is a pastor. If a man is a pastor, then he's an elder. Whatever name you want to use, you're to be shepherds. But there's something else that Peter says about elders. We see it in verse 1. Peter is appealing to the elders among you. Where are the elders? Among you. They are among the congregation. They are in our midst. They are on the same level, if you will. The Bible never talks about the clergy as being up here and that the rest of the people are down here. The elders are among God's people. And God's people then are among the elders. They belong with one another, living together, striving together. There's no room for elders to exalt themselves over the people who serve. There's no room for the people to leave it all to the elders. Christ calls elders to care for the flock. And when Peter talks about the flock here, he is talking about the local church. One flock of many that make up Christ's church. Christ calls elders to care for the flock, but it's not the elders' flock, it's God's flock. God owns the sheep. God placed the sheep in the care of Christ, the chief shepherd. So, in one sense, we could see elders are simply the shepherd boys, so to speak, who are doing the work that the chief shepherd has assigned to them. And what is that assignment? It's shepherding the flock. How does Peter describe that? It's exercising oversight. In one sense, it's the work of supervision. And it's interesting because that's exactly what Peter declared about Christ. He said, Christ is the shepherd and overseer of our souls. And he, that is Jesus, calls his elders to pass on his care to his sheep. And that involves two things, shepherding and oversight. Or we could maybe describe it another way, provision and protection. When elders are pasturing the flock, they are showing the sheep Christ's shepherding love. Elders need to lead God's people into the Word. They need to feed them, nourish them, and strengthen them. And when elders protect the flock, they are passing on Christ's watchful compassion. Elders are to guard the flock so that the weaker sheep don't become easy prey to the lion. Where does the lion come from? Next time. The task of elders isn't primarily administrative. Yes, stuff needs to be taken care of, but I would suggest that the task is primarily nurture. The task isn't so much about running the church, rather it's shepherding the flock, as Peter is telling us. And Peter doesn't give us an elder's handbook here. It's not a complete picture. Here's all the things, and this is exactly... He doesn't focus on methods. Rather, he focuses on manner. He focuses on the dangers that come with the office, the temptation to be sluggish, the temptation to be greedy, the temptation to be power-hungry. So, how does the flock get shepherded? Well, Peter gives us the answer in this way, in three contrasts. Here's the first. Not by compulsion, but willingly. We need to understand that being an elder at times is tough. Just as being a Christian at times can be tough. Elders need to be on call. For those of you that are familiar with jobs that demand on-call service, you understand what that's about. Elders need to be involved in people's lives. They need to be calling them back when they sin. They need to be comforting them when they grieve. You need to be encouraging them when they hurt. Being an elder can be time-consuming, and it can burn up energy. Being an elder is a call for love. Being an elder is also a demand for joy. Many of us have probably heard it said that God loves a cheerful giver. Well, I think that we could perhaps sum up what Peter is saying like this. God loves a cheerful elder. Christ commands elders to enjoy their work. Doing it with joy is not an option. It's an obligation. Christ doesn't want elders to shepherd the sheep simply because they have to. Well, that's my job. I've been appointed at this point in time, and I've got to do this. Christ doesn't want elders to see the job as just a terrible burden or as a duty that we have to get through. There. How many have we hosted this year? I think I've done my hospitality for the year. Thank goodness that's over. That's not what Christ is looking for. Christ wants elders to serve because they desire to. Because they remember His suffering and because they long for His glory. God wants elders to do the work because they love Him. And as He loves the sheep, so too they show His love to the sheep. But congregation, Christ calls all of us to see to it that the elders' work is a joy. He calls us to pray for our elders, to encourage them, and to stay faithful, even if it means stepping on toes. And by the way, stepping on toes can go both ways. We're not talking about just being a pain in each other's lives. We're talking about keeping each other true. Christ calls all of us to be involved when sheep stray and when people need help. We don't just leave all the work to the elders. We should all be involved in the work of tending and feeding and loving God's flock. Christ wants elders to serve because they desire to and not because they're forced to. But that want has to come from the right desire. And here's Peter's second contrast. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Or we could say, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Some elders were paid for their work back then, just as we are still paying some elders to do things today. So it is possible for some elders to do their work simply because they're getting paid for it. It is a problem in some circles. It can become a problem that we treat this call just as another career. But that's not right. If money is the motive of an elder, then he is not a shepherd. He's not acting like a shepherd. He's not caring and tending like a shepherd. He's just a hired hand. Christ wants elders to serve for the joy of letting Christ's grace flow through them. Not for the things gained because of their position. But Christ holds out another reward, and we see this in verse 4. It's the crown of glory when Christ returns. That's His promise to elders. Elders need to have their eyes and hearts focused on Christ and His promise rather than developing an appetite for the riches of this world. Peter adds one more contrast. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Perhaps you recall when Jesus said to His disciples, the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, not so with you. Faithful elders aren't tyrants. They aren't domineering. They don't take pride in having people look up to them or call them by special titles. They don't rule with threats or with intimidation. They don't bark orders from somewhere up above as people snap to. Faithful elders serve gently. They are firm when there is a need to be, but they are not harsh. They serve not because they love power, but because they love people, Christ's people. And faithful elders lead by example. Peter talks about the flock. And in doing so, he refers to those entrusted to you. speaking about allotments or portions. God has entrusted every elder with the care of certain sheep. And that has everything to do with the local congregation, with the interaction between all of us as we worship together, and eat together, and live together, and laugh together, and cry together, and work together. There's no such thing as long-distance shepherding. Elders need to get to know the sheep in their pasture. Elders need to know the interests and the struggles and the griefs of the sheep so that they can love them and they can care for them. Elders need to be seen by God's people. We need to watch the lifestyle of our elders so that we can see how they live. Peter tells us, so that we can imitate them. And that can be a scary thought. We tend to shy away from the idea of calling people to imitate us. And quite frankly, in many cases, rightly so. But when there is a good example set, it is not wrong, Scripture tells us, to imitate that good example. So we need to get past the idea that calling someone to imitate sounds arrogant. Because the call is imitate as they imitate Christ. And yes, we all know that nobody is perfect. But God's word doesn't allow the elder to say, do what I say, not what I do. Elders don't have to be perfect to be an example. We all know that that's impossible for us, for any one of us. There is only one perfect man. And he's the one who's appointed elders. But elders do have to be faithful. And Peter calls elders to guard the flock, to shepherd the flock, while being examples to the flock, examples of godliness and consistency and integrity and faith. You see, the way that office bearers live affects the lifestyle of the whole flock. If the elders are lazy, if they are position-oriented, if they are people-pleasers, then the flock is going to degenerate. It's going to become something other than what Christ desires it to be. It could even become a place where the majority rules instead of Christ and His Word. Or a place where each man does as he sees fit instead of doing Christ's Word. However, if elders are eager and enthusiastic and exemplary, if they pass on Christ's care to the sheep and then the sheep begin to imitate that, they are going to be strong. They are going to be safe as Christ desires them to be. And Christ says to the elders, those that are faithful, I will reward you. Peter writes, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And there is a sense that all Christians share Christ's glory. And we need to look forward to that. But there is some sense here that people that Peter is saying to people that are elders, that there is a special share, a crown of glory that never fades for being faithful, doing the task that Christ is appointed. Here's the thing. That ought to tug at our hearts, men. All of us. It ought to move us. Older men, younger men, boys as you're growing up. It ought to move us so that we want to grow and to serve Christ as an elder. Scripture says that's a good desire. God is glorified by it. It ought to drive us to discipline ourselves and to study God's word and to pray for the sheep and to encourage the sheep and to love the sheep even when we are not in office. Because we want to share in the privilege of serving Christ, we want to share in the privilege of receiving His praise that He promises. Christ commissions elders to shepherd His flock. Peter gives us the motive for the elders' work, and he describes the character of the elders' work. And then he calls for a response to the elders' work. He calls younger members. And I think that that's probably those that are in their 20s and 30s in particular, to submit to elders. Now, I will grant that some translations make a judgment call here with the beginning of verse 5, because the word used here as elder has two meanings. It may refer to an office bearer on the one hand, or it may refer to someone who is simply older. But as I was looking at this and considering it, and I will admit that I have disagreed with theologians who have done a lot more work. But in looking at this and understanding that the versification that we have before us was someone's decision, I would say that Peter has just been talking about elders, and I think it makes sense to keep that context as he continues into verse 5. Likewise, you younger people. Likewise. The implication is, because you are under Christ just as the elders are, submit yourselves to the elders. Why does Peter write that? Why does Peter single out the younger members? Well, I think it's because as we begin to grow to where we need to be taking charge of our own lives, so to speak, that there is a hard time living under authority. Jamie read a great example from the Old Testament earlier, where they should have followed the wisdom of the elders. And they didn't. Back in Peter's day, the young men formed special societies. They got together for sports and military training and political education. And those societies were independent, financially, socially, and legally. And they were even involved in the municipal government. When you're independent and perhaps even influential, it's a little hard to understand. It doesn't just happen. Now, isn't that true today as well? You look around, it doesn't take long to realize the struggle. You look at even our North American model of education, for instance. Do you think that there's a reason why revolutions and unrests are often started on university campuses? Yeah, maybe. Young people move away from home. It feels good not to have mom and dad looking over your shoulder. Young people, you know, go off to university, also enter the workforce, and they begin to pay their own bills, and they make their own decisions. They start to assert their independence. And in many ways, that can be and is a good thing. But here's the thing. In the church, contrary to sometimes the way the gospel is preached today, in the church, we are not independent. This isn't just Jesus and me. This is God's flock. This is Christ's sheep. And Christ calls His elders to shepherd everyone, to watch over everyone, to care for everyone. And yes, at times it is a challenge to submit. It's a challenge to let someone else guide us when we want to go our own way. We can handle this. And it is true that rebellious young people have a terrible time with submitting. But it's not only true for them. It can be true for godly young people. Perhaps there's something in the church that could change, or something that could be done, but the elders don't seem to be too excited about it for whatever reason. It looks like they're just dragging their heels. Now, perhaps that's out of wisdom. But maybe they just don't like change. Yes, I said change. So it's easy to start to get impatient. But Peter calls younger members to submit to the elders. He calls for respect toward their authority in the way that we talk, in the way that we use our tone of voice, in our patience. Even when elders may be wrong, in order that Christ's flock isn't torn apart by revolution. It's a tough thing to submit. Let's not kid ourselves. We need to work at it. Because it doesn't matter who we are, whether we're outspoken, and usually we hear those guys first, or whether we're timid, and we let it eat away at ourselves, and we quietly rebel on our own, go off and do our own thing. We need to look to what Christ calls us to. Here's the thing. If Christ calls younger members to submit, we need to know and understand and remember that He calls all of us to submit. Who's going to set the example? The elders, yes. But also the elders in the sense of those who are grown older and hopefully wiser in the counsel of the Lord. The world has a passion for power and pride. Let's not strive for that. Here in the church, Christ is forming a new people. A people who are humble before Him. A people who live by His word and submit to His rule. When Christ has commissioned elders to shepherd the flock that He died for, they are to shepherd all of us. They are to feed us, nourish us, guard us, protect us, be examples to us. We, as the sheep of God, are to make their service a joy as they labor in joy. They need our submission. They need our cooperation. They need our help and prayers. As God's flock, our desire needs to be that all of God's sheep enter into the glory of Christ. So, let's work together. Let's encourage one another. Let's build each other up and strengthen each other so that not one sheep is missing. Christ returns.